I'd like to call this public hearing to order. My name is Mark Frye, the President of City Council, and the reason we're here this evening is to discuss the possibility of implementing a TIF or tax increment financing district in the downtown area and up and along, going east on Monroe Street. As you all know, we had some work done probably 3 years ago where we had a large study done on what we could do demographically and what our Sylvania City would support in regards to incremental businesses in the downtown footprint. One of the recommendations we received from that was to consider looking at a TIF. And from that point, we engaged on a TIF consideration. The city retained Glenn Grisdale from Reveille. Their firm is located in Bowling Green for expertise in that area. And we've been working on this for some months now, probably the last 15 months or so. The purpose of the meeting is to hear from you, the public, but just a little bit more table setting before we go into hearing comments for people that are opposed to it and people that are for the TIF. The TIF does not change your property taxes at all. What it does is it takes a small portion of incremental future property taxes and allocates those a portion of those property taxes to the city to utilize improving inside the TIF footprint. That's all it does. We, in order to do what is under consideration, which is a 30-year TIF, the public school system had to sign off on this, and they've already agreed to consider and move forward with this. They're fine with it. So it really falls to us as members of City Council to consider going forward with it. So what we would like to do is hear first from individuals in the audience about whether or not you have questions or concerns, and whether or not you're in approval or whether you want the TIF to move forward. So, is there anyone here who is in favor of the TIF? You don't see anybody, okay. Is there anybody here who is opposed to the TIF that would like to speak? Well, this is going to be a really short meeting. Okay, well, are there members of council that would have questions of Glenn or the administrative staff in regards to the TIF structure as it sits?
Mr. Frye, may I get permission to push back from the table just to be extra safe?
I'm not sure whether we need to be.
It doesn't need to be? Okay.
If we consider it at council, then obviously that would potentially
work. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Frye, it might be helpful. I suspect a lot of our neighbors don't know much about the TIF, and it might be helpful to have you talk just a little bit about it and the kinds of things we can do with it and why we've all concluded this is something worth pursuing, as opposed to having me try and do it from my addled brain.
Glenn, go ahead.
Sure.
And obviously, as you know, for the record, you just need to identify yourself.
Okay. All right, Glenn Grisdale with Reveille. We're located in Bowling Green, Ohio, 130 South Main Street, Bowling Green. So for those of you in the audience, members of council, the city of Sylvania went down the path we started about a year ago to do a TIF, and it was emboldened by the fact that they had a master plan that was produced for the downtown that looked at a variety of different things that would be important to have in the downtown. And one of the things that it helps with is to help the public improvements, so all the public realm space, streets, water, sewer, anything in this target area can be used to be improved by the public dollars that come in from the increased valuation. There's about 30 businesses or so that need ADA improvements. It would also help with replacing the deteriorated infrastructure, the water and sewer, like I had said. And over the past several years, they've allocated about $2 million in the downtown footprint. And the downtown master plan talked about a variety of other things that need improved that could help build that space and build synergy with the SOMO project that's currently going in. As part of the TIF process, they identified about 129 to 130 parcels in that downtown footprint that are commercial or industrial parcels. There's no industrial, I believe, so they're just commercial parcels. This TIF would only grab the increased natural valuation or any new projects, commercial in nature, and take that and redirect it to the downtown footprint only to pay off any sort of debt over a 30-year period that's acquired by the city to just improve that footprint in the downtown. So once this TIF is passed next year, it locks in that natural valuation. And I think we've had, what we did was, is we modeled out the historical valuations going back to 2004. And so there was about, $63 million of commercial valuation in the downtown, and by 2020 that number went up to $98 million. So that's about a 54% increase. You take the downturn valuation from 2013 and move that forward, that's about 22%. So what we did was is we modeled out an increase of about 20% over a 30-year period, and it looks like that would raise generally or capture about $13 million. Now, that doesn't include any new developments that would come on in, like the SOMO project or any sort of other redevelopment or new development that would happen. It's just natural increase. And so that's about $13 million. This is a 75% valuation with the school district. So the schools are held harmless. They will continue to receive the valuation, an increased valuation normally, over the certain time period. We worked with the schools on the 17th. They passed a resolution to support this because they're basically held harmless over the duration of the period. And let's see here. During the comprehensive plan or the master plan, the city worked with a lot of downtown property owners. They talked about the things that were valuable to them in the public realm space, and all those things are under consideration. So at the back of this ordinance here, it talks about the things that can be improved, water, sewer, any sort of public facility that benefits the downtown, leading on down to like benches, walking trails, sidewalks, things like that. Yeah, absolutely. Are there any questions from you? Yes, sir.
Sir? Oh. This is public hearing. Unfortunately, you have to come.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. We know who you are, Kevin, but come on.
Here you go.
I had a question.
I've got a quick answer for you.
Yeah, that's good. I hope so. I'm Kevin Kenny. I have a question for that is why is the TIF necessary to handle what I would normally view as regular improvements handled by the city?
Sure. So it's an eligible activity, but the city wouldn't do that. They've got their own water and sewer program, I'm sure, but here's a long list of things. So it's an eligible item, but it's not one of the items that they're looking at doing. They're looking at doing a lot of public realm space down the main street, and then also down, Monroe Street, going all the way to the interchange.
Do I have to introduce myself again? Again, why is a TIF necessary to do any of that public realm space?
The public realm space is important for the downtown. It was identified in the master plan, and I would assume that rather than have the tax dollars that are generated in that downtown footprint go and get scattered around the entire city, it would make sense to allocate them to the target area to directly benefit that public realm space.
Because
Yeah, actually, the thought here is that we will create a pool of resources that we can target directly at our downtown business area. So we can justify spending more money downtown here to attract business and to support our business activity in downtown Sylvania, as opposed to, we have obviously consistent demands to maintain our, we're a largely residential city. We have constant demands to maintain our residential areas with water and sewer, streetlights, which we just did last week, all those sorts of things. And this really gives us an opportunity to say, we're going to spend some money to benefit our downtown businesses, which is not going to impair in any way our ability to address those other issues. So it's, from my standpoint, I view it as, we're going to increase the property values here in downtown. We are not going to increase our property taxes on our downtown businesses, but we're going to recapture a part of the real estate tax to invest here and to increase your property values. That's the big picture.
Okay.
That's why we're trying.
Okay, good, thanks.
Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, so you just said that you're not going to...
Normally not necessary, but for public hearing, you have to do certain things.
I understand. So...
If you could identify yourself?
Yeah, Michael Hayes.
I live not too far from here. So it's the future increases in commercial property taxes that are going to cover this? Is that correct?
Yes.
So just the normal increase. It's not going to be an extra. So you figured out, like, over the next 30 years, it would be about
20%. Yeah, so what we did was we got the county auditor. We were able to figure out all the valuations, right? Because it's broken out. So this is the only valuation that we go after, the commercial and industrial. And it's about, it's a small portion. It's 14% of the total valuation. But you can see the natural increases over time. And so what we did was, is we conservatively said that over a certain period, which would be 30 years, it would increase about 20%. But since 13, it's gone up 20%. So it's a pretty conservative number. You may capture more. You're likely to not capture less, simply because over 30 years, we should at least go up that by 20% or more.
So is it going to be in the form of a loan from somebody?
No, it's just a natural increase. So as the taxes are paid normally, this TIF gets locked in. So this valuation that we have right now gets locked in, okay? And those taxes that are paid on the locked-in value are normally paid to all the different taxing entities. The increase of that natural value goes to two entities, the city and the school district. And the city then has to have a plan to target it specifically just for the boundaries in the TIF, which are...
Yeah, I've got one.
Okay, yeah, in that target.
So... But some of the improvements that you want to do are going to be done way before the 30 years. So you're not going to get all that money up front.
Sure.
So where does that money come from?
I'll address that if I could. So if, let's just say that you're right, the money is going to flow in over time, and like all circumstances with the city, we make investments in the community on a broad basis, but the TIF allows us to, if I recall correctly, to recover those monies and utilize them for other purposes. So but the services and the things we're looking to do don't necessarily stop once we do, like you're looking at a downtown improvement, which is great, but that's not the end. There's going to be other things that need to be required. So where we looked earlier this year in the same footprint at some significant sewer repairs, all sorts of things. We have older infrastructure based on the age of our community, so we're going to continue to have things over time that will occur that we need to get fixed or improve upon them, and that's the purpose of this.
Okay, so maybe I'm just not understanding something. So we're going to get improvements done up front. Let's say we have some improvements that we want to get done in like the next 3 years, and it's going to cost several million dollars. We haven't got that money yet from the TIF. So where does that money?
Well, the city's going to cover that. I mean, the city has resources to pay for those things.
Okay.
And then this recovers over time.
All right.
We also have a bonding.
Well, we can bond if we want.
We could always bond.
Okay.
Borrow the money.
That's.
And the TIF income stream would support retiring those bonds.
Right.
The other thing, and I don't want to be misleading here. I mean, you're familiar with the recent work we did looking at our downtown development.
Yes.
When we look at those demographics, suggest that the economics of our immediate downtown area are going to be very attractive to people coming into the city and building new and expanded buildings. Increasing real estate values beyond the 20% that we're talking about. This also allows us to recapture a piece of that increased economic value from the real estate taxes. So if somebody comes in and, not that this is going to happen, but somebody comes in and decides they want to buy a green funeral home and redevelop that into a multi-use, commercial, residential development, which would likely have a real estate tax valuation multiple of what REEV is today, we would also get the benefit of that. And that's part of what we're thinking. Not that we are going to initiate any of that.
Right.
But the demographics and the economics that we've seen in the studies that we've done suggest that some of that is going to happen. And so we want to be able to benefit from that. So we have projected some natural growth. We're also anticipating additional growth that isn't even taken into account here.
So you're leveraging future increases in commercial taxes to get benefits up front. So there's no increase to the commercial tax base. There's no increase to the regular tax base. So it sounds like on the front of it that it's a win-win, no lose.
No, you sound likely that the win-win situations always seem like they're the hardest to sell because
so,
it seems too good to be true, but this really is.
Are there any things that could go wrong with this?
You know, it's going to be cost averaged over a 30-year period. In the short term, we may have a recession. Commercial properties may go down. That's why I modeled this starting in 2004, and it looked like there's been a 54% increase since 2004, but from 2004 to 2008, or when the property valuation started to, right size. That's why I took it from 2013 moving forward, and that was a 20% increase from 2013 to 2020. So in those 7 years or 8 years, 8 valuation years, the property values went up 18 million. That's 22%. So I modeled this over a 20-year period to capture about $9 million. It's likely to come in higher. That's just the natural increase. That doesn't include any new projects that would go in that area, which we would capture the full value of whenever they go in that 30-year period.
Okay.
Yeah.
The risk would be if we were improvidently bonding projects that we then couldn't generate income from
to pay that off.
Yeah. This is a pretty conservative group up here, and I think we will be very cautious, and we've been very cautious about our bonding. We've been very cautious about how we manage our money. We have, you know, we have a rainy day fund that most places don't have. I mean, we're financially sound and strong as a community, so I think those risks are small, and if we were to bond the work and didn't see the growth we're talking about, we could certainly fund that bond retirement for a period of time anyway while we waited for the economy to recover. So, and what we would expect, that's not what we would expect to happen anyway.
Right.
But, I mean, we have that capability.
Okay. Well, thank you, because I wasn't fully understand. That's what I thought it was going to, how it was going to work. I wasn't sure. And, you know, obviously on something like this, when you're talking millions of dollars, I wanted to make sure I was right. All right, so thank you.
Thank you very much. Deb, did you have a question or comment?
Thank you. Hi, Deb Cheney. We live on Summit Street. Is the footprint that you gave us, is that set in stone? It seems like our property is a residential property. Seems to be included in that. So we back right up to the 10-mile creek that comes from the north. So part of our property is woods, and part of it is...
You're already in the two properties in the downtown district. I mean, Carol has some property too, so yes, it's included in it, but you're really not affected by it. Glenn can help explain that. But since you're in the downtown district, you're different than the neighborhoods that I would say were on the west side of downtown.
Right, so are we safe? We're not going to be, this is just commercial, this is not residential. Okay, so that was my big question. So will there be an amendment to this so it doesn't cover my property?
There could be, but we're not anticipating that.
Okay. I just want to be sure that it has to be, is it written somewhere that residentials are not included in this tax? It's not assumed, it's written.
Yes, it's under a higher rise code. This is only, it's used for commercial, not residential.
Okay, does that include like duplexes?
Yes.
Okay, does that include apartments then also? Is that?
Apartments are commercial.
Okay, so we have a single family dwelling next to us is a duplex, next to us is a multi apartments, and then there's a quadplex, and then there's other single families. So how does that get broken up? Since it's a mix.
Only the commercial properties or properties are 400 tax codes.
Okay.
The database in the county auditor would be tasked with having the increased valuation put in the step on.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. Just wanted to clarify it. Didn't want to be caught off, but thanks.
Any other questions or comments from the public?
No.
Well, members of council, what's your thought process? Thank you very much for the comments and Glenn for the help and explanation. Would you like to consider this more? We do have legislation prepared for consideration in council this evening. What's your thought process?
You know, Mr. Fry, I first of all wanted to make a quick comment thanking our citizen guests here for their comments. You know, we've been talking about this for a very long time, and it is a difficult concept to grasp. So especially Mr. Hayes, I think your questions and your time spent asking us questions was really helpful for the group. And certainly I feel really, for quite some time, we felt like this was the right direction to go for our community to accomplish the goals that we have with our plans. And I don't hear any strong objections tonight that would cause me to rethink that. So I don't speak for all of council members, but I certainly feel comfortable to move forward.
I agree with Mrs. Westfall. I think it's a very positive outcome. We heard a lot of good questions tonight, but did not hear any negative concerns.
Okay. Great, then. When council starts, I'll obviously land that to the agenda along with the report from our public hearing. And with that, I will, do I need a motion on that, Leslie, to close? It's 7:25, and we'll call the public hearing adjourned. Thank you very much for everybody for coming.